Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'd like to ask you to stay with me. It will be a time of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and we always do it without any manipulation because we don't have hidden agendas. We're not trying to recruit you. We're not trying to solicit anything from you. This show is simply about giving you accurate information. The information is from the Bible, from the Word of God. And yes, it's a show about the Bible, but a little different from what you've heard before. What we're going to do is going to show you how it's possible that you can live a life free of stress. Not free of adversity, no, but free of stress. As a matter of fact, adversity is inevitable, but stress is always optional. And the reason is because adversity is what circumstances do to you, whether it's self-induced or not. But stress is what you do to yourself. And that's what's so unique about the life God promises for the Christian in time. There's a way to live a supernatural life that's related to the filling of God the Holy Spirit and the promises found in the Word of God. And when you put those two together, they create a balance in your life that gives you phenomenal staying power, phenomenal ability to face the most adverse situations and not freak out, not worry, not be afraid, not get bitter, not get angry, not look back and be full of guilt. It's the Christian life. It's a simple life. It's an amazing life. And it's ours. It's free. It's for us. And so as we teach you the Flatline, we show you these wonderful promises that are found in the Bible. Information accurately. Not any speculation, but accurate information from the Scripture. All designed to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And as we say every Sunday, if you would like to orient and adjust, have at it. All you have to do is apply what you hear. You know, I thank you for listening. I get letters from people all the time. I encourage that. I'd love to hear what you're learning and when you're growing. And I love to hear where you are and what station you're listening to. I have no idea. Stations don't send me a list of listeners. I have no idea who's listening where. I'm just so grateful for the privilege to broadcast this show in the many cities that we do. And we are always praying for other venues, other cities that would open up. We're constantly contacting other radio stations and asking, do you have a slot? Do you have a time where we can buy in or purchase 30 minutes to do our show? So pray for us as we continue on this mission of reaching out across this great country with the message of the Flatline. That's right, Flatline. Some man wrote to me recently, and he's a retired Air Force gentleman, and he said, I thought you were talking about the flight line. No, it's FLOT, F-L-O-T. And that stands for the forward line of troops, the main line of resistance. This was taught by my pastor many years ago in his church, and he was a former Air Force, retired Air Force, And what he taught was this, that you can establish in your soul 10 unique problem-solving devices found in the Word of God, nothing new. This is not some new discovery. You can take these 10 problem-solving devices and use them as a main line of resistance to stop the outside sources of adversity from ever becoming the inside sources of stress. That's what we do on this radio show. We cover that information. We examine that information. And we look at many other subjects as well. Last week, if you listened, we started a series called Stinkin' Thinkin'. I don't know who came up with that term first. I've heard several of my friends use it. But Stinkin' Thinkin'. It has to do with thinking human viewpoint. It has to do with bad attitudes and bad negative volition. And so we took as our text verse, the verse found in Philippians 4, verse 8, where Paul wrote to the church in Philippi and said these words as he closed out his letter to Philippi. He said, finally, brethren, and that's the believers in Philippi, men and women, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. There are six different things he mentioned there. Whatever things are of good report, and then the comma, if there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, think on these things. And so we take the verb think on these things. Logizomai means to concentrate, to take account of, and it is an imperative mood verb in the Greek New Testament. And the unique thing about that is it's the a verb of commandment. It's a mandate. This is not something Paul is asking them to do. He's telling them, look, if you want to advance in the plan of God, you've got to learn to control your thoughts. You've got to learn to take advantage of the difference between human viewpoint and divine viewpoint. And I would like to challenge you with this today. Whenever you go through your day or next week as you face the week, when you catch yourself thinking human viewpoint, remember, human solutions are no solutions. Divine solutions are the only solutions. So when you catch yourself thinking human viewpoint, stop and reorient your thoughts. We'll cover that today. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. In other words, what it's telling us is the real you, the invisible you, are your thoughts, your motives, your intentions, your desires. That's the real you. Why did you do what you did? What did you hope to get out of it? Your motives, your intentions, and your desires. This is an interesting thing. God knows your motives, your intentions, and your desires. You cannot play games with God. You may play games with your wife or your husband or your pastor or your parents, but you're not going to play any games with God because he knows exactly what's going on in that head between your ears. He knows what you're thinking. So the real you is what you think. And so Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, words that say, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't think like they think, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that, or in order that, you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Renovating your thinking. The only way you can do that is by, number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving devices 1 and 2, and by learning biblical information, doctrinal orientation. That's another problem-solving device. So as you orient to the Word of God and you store it in your soul, in the memory center of your soul, it begins to cycle through your thoughts, you have biblical wisdom. And so it's clear, you have to understand this, the believer's mindset. It's very simple. There are four simple things I want to remind you of. This is what we taught last week, and then we'll move on. We must assemble to hear God's Word. We must assemble to hear God's Word. Secondly, when you assemble, you must concentrate. If you assemble and don't concentrate, if you daydream, if you just sit there and your mind wanders, that's why taking notes is a great thing, because it helps you to concentrate. So if you concentrate, you assemble, you concentrate, and then you recall. Recall means you go home that night and you think about what he said, or you look over your notes and read what you wrote down. And then the last step is to apply. So assemble, concentrate, remember, and apply. But listen carefully. You cannot apply what you do not know. So whatsoever things are true, alethos, we saw that. We looked at that word. Truth. Information, true, but let's move on today to the second mandate, the second thing we're supposed to think about. Whatever things are noble, the Greek word semnos, noble, S-E-M-N-O-S. That's the original word, and what it actually means is what is dignified, what is worthy of respect. The word is translated reverent in other passage, meaning respect and appreciation. So let's get some points on this. Whatever things are noble. One, for the believer in Jesus Christ, We must respect the Word of God, since the Word of God is alive and powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says it so eloquently, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You must respect the Word of God. It is alive and powerful. It is one half of your operating system. The other half is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Your spiritual life will never even get to first base if you do not understand two essential doctrines. If you do not understand how an individual is filled with the Holy Spirit, and if you do not understand Operation Z, maybe you haven't heard me talk about Operation Z. Well, I just gave you the process of Operation Z when we started the show. Assemble, concentrate, recall, and apply. That's what it means. When you assemble in your local church under the authority of your pastor, he will teach you God's Word. And then, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, he will take that word that the pastor teaches you and convert it into gnosis knowledge. That's the knowledge that you comprehended it, you understood it. But then you have to use your volition to apply that knowledge. And if you form the letter Z in your mind, the pastor teaches it, the Holy Spirit picks it up, it comes down the slide to the mind where you now understand it, and then it goes across to the end of the Z where you apply it. Operation Z is critical. Unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and unless you're taking in God's Word on a consistent basis, you're simply going to go through ritual and there will be no reality to it. You will never be able to actually glorify God in your Christian life because you won't ever grow up as the Bible tells you to do. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There's two verses right there. So, noble is your respect for the Word of God. Point two, within the Word of God, we must respect the laws of establishment. These laws of establishment guarantee our freedom, and they guarantee the prosperity of this nation, a client nation, the United States of America. There is no doubt that for this time, God has ordained this nation to disseminate His Word across the world. We send out missionaries. We are a haven for the Jew. We guard the doctrine in this nation. But all of that is slowly changing. And you can see seeping into the history of America a progressive agenda. And the first thing that has happened is we have to shut down the Word of God in the public agenda. Stop the Word of God from being displayed. Stop the Word of God from being talked about. And that's what's gone on in this country for the last 50 years, beginning with Madeleine Murray O'Hare and the Supreme Court decision in the 60s to take prayer out of the schools. If there's anything our schools need, it's prayer. I have been speaking in schools for over 40 years. I have spoken in thousands of schools, and now most of the schools, 99.9% of the schools that I visit, are in fact private academies. Not necessarily Christian, but private. Because there's still the opportunity in the private schools to be able to tell the young men and young women that attend those schools about the plan of God for their life. But not in the public arena. This area of contention, point three. This is the main area of contention used by Satan today to weaken and dissolve the United States of America. What Satan attempts to do is minimize the impact of the gospel in this country and to neutralize the communicators of the Word of God and demonize them to the general public. And quite frankly, some Christians have done a good job of demonizing themselves by getting into the public arena. God didn't call us to change the devil's world. God called us to lift up Jesus Christ, His anointed Son. And when people's hearts are changed, the world changes. We're focusing on the wrong thing. we must focus on what our job is. So the main area of contention used by Satan is to weaken and dissolve America. What would happen? Well, client nation USA would be put aside. Would God raise another client nation? Absolutely he would. But we, in the history of the United States, we may already be in for a train wreck. Someone once said, the wreck is coming and I can hear the whistle blowing, look down the track and see the light. It's coming. Because of decisions that we have made across this country, the people that are in political power, the agendas that they possess, we are going down fast. And most of the young people that I meet don't have a clue. They don't know what it was like 20, 30 years ago. They only know what it's like today. They only know the music of today. They don't even know what a rotary telephone was. Maybe you still remember that, but they've never heard of it. They've grown up with cell phones. They've grown up with computers. They don't even know what a book, a cyclopedia, set of encyclopedias are. They don't have to have that anymore. Things are changing. There are, point four, I want to get this to you. There are four divine institutions that require appreciation and loyalty from the believer in Client Nation USA. The first divine institution ordained by God is volition. God gives every person free will. That's why the Bible says, whosoever will may come. God gives every person free will. Thus, any nation that desires to follow God's plan must provide freedom of choice for their people. That's critical. God did not make robots out of any of us. He gives us all the ability to choose. He gave you volition. It's part of the format of your soul. You can choose to believe in Jesus Christ, or you can choose to reject Jesus Christ. You can choose to learn God's plan, or you can choose to reject the time that it takes to learn God's plan. Because it does take time. There's no one-shot decision you can make that says automatically, okay, I'm going to be a mature believer from this day forward. That doesn't happen. Either you grow, as the Bible says, and you study, as the Bible says, or you stay a baby Christian most of your life. You will go to heaven. You will have eternal life. You will not hear, well done, my good and my faithful servant. So the four divine institutions that must be appreciated, that must be maintained, are volition, and secondly, marriage. God ordained marriage for all members of the human race. It was established by God himself when he took the rib of Adam and brought to him his wife, whose name was Eve. Ish and Isha in the Hebrew. God brought her and gave her to him as a helpmate. Marriage is an honorable institution. And one of the things that is under attack in our country today is the institution of marriage. You can see it in the amounts of divorce that we see and in the amount of people that simply don't get married. They just live together. If God ordained marriage, there must be a reason. And it is. That's the third divine institution called family. God ordained the marriage for the raising and the training of the children. The family is the instrument ordained by God for children to be trained. And what are we training our children to do? To respect authority, to inculcate a vocabulary that's worthy of speaking. And it requires that we teach them respect for authority and that we do not do it in an unfair manner. Fathers, the Bible says, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Nurture is the word nousia, and admonition is the word padia. And there are times when we put something in their mind, and there are times that we put something on their behind. Yes, I know you don't ever believe in spanking your children, according to that famous Dr. Spock, but discipline is instructed by the Word of God. It even says, if you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. Discipline is good. I got my behind busted many, many times. And you know what I'm talking about. So when we have a whole generation that doesn't understand discipline, then we have a generation that doesn't understand respect for authority. So the family, that's where we start training our children. And then lastly, the word nationalism, the fourth divine institution. Nationalism is ordained by God from the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, 1 through 9, where God dispersed men across the face of the earth. He confused their language because he did not accept the concept of internationalism. It is never God's plan for any nation to be involved in internationalism. Internationalism gives Satan the opportunity to control the whole world with one decision. But when we have various nations, when we have autonomy like the United States of America or Canada or Mexico or Great Britain, we have independent nations with independent thinking. And I mean, Satan may succeed in getting the agenda of one of those nations to go his way, but maybe not all. But if all were under the envelope of internationalism, it would be much easier for him to control this world. And so these four things must be respected. Whatever things are noble, semnos, dignified, worthy of respect, the four divine institutions require that. Volition, marriage, family, and internationalism. And the Bible tells us, point five, the laws of the land are always worthy of respect. Romans 13, 1 through 2. And lastly, point six, freedom through military victory is worthy of respect. Anytime you see a soldier, a sailor, an airman, anytime you see someone serving our country in that military uniform, that is worthy of respect. In times past, such as the Vietnam War, the respect for the military was lost. And Satan did a masterful job in undermining that in our history. But today, because of the things that our warriors have faced, both men and women, we have wounded warriors. We have things that go on because they respect these people and do all they can to reorient them to society and to assist them. And there's a greater appreciation for the military today than there's ever been in the past. We must respect these men and women and the service that they give to our country, because without the military, there is no freedom. Every time you see a soldier wearing a uniform, it's freedom through military victory. That is worthy of respect, worthy of a salute, worthy of a well done, worthy of a thank you. The uniform of this country means you're free. So whatever things are semnos, whatever things are noble, dignified, worthy of respect, think on these things. Whatever things are true, think on these things. And then we have the third principle given by the Apostle Paul here in the book of Philippians. Whatever things are right. Right. Dikaios is the Greek word. Dikaios. It means whatever things conform to the law of morality, right conduct as prescribed in God's word. Whatever things are right, it starts with right thinking. Here's one way to think. Maybe you've never tried thinking this way. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Now, let's assume that you have a relative, or you have a friend, or an acquaintance that you cannot stand. They are what you call a W.O.J., a weird, obnoxious jerk, and you hate them because of what they said about you or because of what they did to you. Can I ask you a question? Did Christ die for that person, just like he died for you? Well, the answer is yes. Did God love that person just like he loved you? The answer is yes. And you say, well, that doesn't mean that I have to love him. Oh, yes, you do. You just need to wait till we get to this. Oh, yes, you do. You are mandated to love your enemies. you're not allowed to judge them, to be critical of them, to malign them, to slander them. That is not the Christian way of life. So whatever things are right, number one, the Christian life consists of a protocol plan, which essentially means a right thing must be done in a right way. And number two, a right thing done in a wrong way is always wrong. Number three, a right thing done in a right way is always right. And so, number four, for example, the communion table. I'm sure you've taken communion before, but did you take communion the right way, or did you take communion the wrong way? Because if you took communion the wrong way, then you may be in for a little bit of discipline. You may be in for a little bit of pain because you did not do what God told you to do. Let's go back for a moment to Moses at Meribah when God said, Moses, speak to that rock and I'll give water. And what did Moses do? He struck the rock. He didn't speak to it. He struck the rock in anger and said, must Aaron and I draw water for you bunch of rebels? The end result of that act, the most humble man that ever lived, was that he did not go into the promised land. Change of command came. Joshua took the tribes of Israel and took them into the promised land, beginning at the Battle of Jericho. Moses did not go. And there's a reason for that. Not that he wasn't a Christian. Yes, he was a believer. Yes, he had faith alone in Christ alone, as we know. He didn't know the gospel like we know it, but he knew who the Redeemer was. He had met him in the burning bush. Yes, he knew. But he did not follow God's plan. In the end result, he did not go into the promised land. Now listen, there is a plan for your life. If you don't follow the plan, if you don't adhere to the plan, if you don't learn the plan, you're not going to have the happiness the promised land offers to you either. It's there. It's for you. It's free. You must follow the plan. And the protocol plan of God is where it starts. Next week, I'll come back. I'll continue this study on whatever things are right, and we'll try to pull this together for you. Until then, thank you for listening. This is your host, Rick Hughes.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.